Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. Take your Bibles and let's turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. We will conclude our look at these hymns of praise in Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5, preparation for the coming judgments of the Lord God. And as we read at the very beginning of the service this morning, we read through all five of these anthems of praise. And I want us to once again note that all of the heavenly host, all of the 24 elders which represent the saints of God in glory, all of the four living creatures that represent those of the Hebrew people who've come to faith in Jesus Christ, the multiplied thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of angels. Numbers can't count how many angels there are around the throne of God. All of them lifting up their voices in praise to Jesus Christ. And then all of creation, all of heaven and earth singing praise to the Lord Jesus. He's worthy to take the scroll from the Father's hand. He's worthy to break the seals and to open the judgments of God upon the earth. Only He is worthy. According to the saints that sing, according to the angels that sing, according to all of creation that sings, only He is worthy to administer the judgments of God and redeem creation from sin and from death and from Satan. Now, to be worthy, I know we talk about that, we sing about that from time to time in the church, but what does it mean to be worthy? When we say that Jesus is worthy of our praise, when the Bible says that He is worthy to be called Lord, what does that mean? What does it mean to be worthy? Well, if you would look to Webster's, or if you would look to some other dictionaries that you might have, if you were to look into your Bible dictionary, you would find that the word worthy means to be highly valued. It means to be deserving. It means to have worth because of one's excellent qualities. To be worthy means to be above and beyond the norm, almost superhuman. It means to be the exception to the rule. Jesus is worthy. He is highly valued. He is deserving. He is of great worth because He has excellent qualities. And because of that, He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our honor. He's worthy to rule over the kingdom of God. He is worthy to take the scroll and to administer its judgments. He is worthy to reclaim and to redeem the earth back to God. Why? And what are these excellent qualities that He has? What makes Jesus so deserving of our praise and of our honor? What makes Him so deserving to take the scroll from God's hand and to administer its judgments upon the earth? Well, if you're careful to read these five anthems of praise in Revelation 4 and 5, you'll understand why Jesus is worthy. I want to focus in on one of the anthems of praise that we find in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5. Let's take a look at it, if you will, please. Revelation 5 and verse 5. One of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." Notice what the elder is saying to John. When the angel declared who is worthy to come and to take the scroll and to administer its judgments, no one in heaven, no one on the earth was found worthy to take the scroll from the hand of God. And so John wept much, but the angel said, one of the elders said then to John, "Don't weep. Don't weep." And he says three things in this declaration to John as to why we should not weep and why Jesus is worthy then to take the scroll and to break its seals. First of all, he says Jesus is the Lion of Judah. Let's take our Bibles and go back to Genesis chapter 49. In Genesis chapter 49, again, I want to reiterate to you, dear friends, that if you really want to understand the symbols of the book of the Revelation, you've got to go back to the Old Testament. Much of what we find in the book of the Revelation is contained in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 49.
In Genesis chapter 49, you have Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. Abraham, the father of the Hebrew people. God promised to Abraham that he would be the father of a great nation, God's own people. They would declare the wonder, the majesty, the power, the glory, the purposes of God to all the peoples of the earth. That God would give them a land that would be their own, the land that is known now as Israel. The land over there in the Middle East that people are fighting over even to this very day. That belongs to the ancient Hebrew people, promised by God to Abraham that his descendants would possess that land. And that promise was carried on not only to Abraham, but also to Isaac, his son, and then to Jacob, his son. And Jacob became the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob is ready to die. And before he dies, he calls each one of his 12 sons into his tent, and he blesses those 12 sons. In verses 9 and 10 of the 49th chapter, Jacob says to his son Judah, not only does he bless his son Judah, but he also makes a prophecy. He says, Judah is lion's whelp. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. Jacob is not only speaking to Judah, but he's also speaking of the Christ, the coming Messiah. 1,500 years before Jesus is born, Jacob pronounces a prophecy concerning this Messiah, this Christ. And this is not the first prophecy concerning the coming Christ. You'll remember that God spoke something similar to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We don't know how long ago that was, but several thousands of years ago, when God promised that he would send one who would crush the head of Satan, even though Satan would bruise his heel. So here we have another declaration of the coming of the Messiah. The tribe of Judah. Let's examine what Jacob says here and how the elder in Revelation 5 makes application to Jesus as the Christ. The tribe of Judah was symbolized by the lion, the powerful and the majestic king of beasts. Israel's kings, according to the prophecy of Jacob, Israel's kings would come from the tribe of Judah. God's most favored king, King David, came from the tribe of Judah. Is it no wonder that in Luke chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 1, we find that Jesus was also born of the tribe of Judah, both through his mother Mary and through his earthly father Joseph? Jacob speaks of the coming Messiah as the king. Notice Jacob also says the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. The scepter was the symbol of the king's authority, held in the king's powerful right hand. And when the king sat down upon the throne to administer his rule, he would set the scepter between his feet, and it would rest upon his right shoulder. Paul writes to Timothy, I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is blessed and the only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom honor and glory and everlasting power, 1 Timothy 6, verses 13 through 16. Jacob speaks to Judah of the blessing that he would be the father of the kings of Israel, but he also speaks of the coming Messiah, the one who would be the King of kings and the Lord of lords, not only over Israel, but also over all of God's people. Jesus is of the tribe of Judah, the tribe of kings. And to him has been given the authority of the Lord God to rule over God's kingdom. But notice also that Jacob speaks of Shiloh. Until Shiloh comes, he says. Shiloh was an ancient city in the land of Ephraim. It was a very important city when Israel comes into the promised land, because it was Shiloh that the tabernacle was situated. They put the tabernacle in Shiloh, and it would remain there until the days of Eli. Until the campaign for the land of Israel was over, the tabernacle, the house of God, the focus of Israel's worship would be in the city of Shiloh. But more importantly, that Shiloh was the dwelling place of the tabernacle of God. More important than that, the name Shiloh means rest. Jacob is referring to Shiloh not only as a place, but also as a person. Notice what he says here. Until Shiloh comes. Can't be speaking of a city. Has to be speaking of a person. Until Shiloh comes. And to him, he gives it a personal pronoun, masculine. And to him shall be the obedience of the people. Whoever this Shiloh is that Jacob speaks of, he brings rest to God's people. I believe, again, he's prophesying of the coming Christ. The only one who is able to bring rest to creation. Rest from sin. Rest from punishment. Rest from persecution. Rest from judgment. Rest from the powers of evil. Only Christ is able to do that. Isaiah prophesied 750 years before Jesus was born. He prophesied that Jesus would be the Prince of Peace. And here, 1,000 years before Jesus is born, Jacob declares the Christ to be the one who brings God's people rest. Jesus is the Lion of Judah. But notice also that the elder says he is the root of David. He is not only the Lion of Judah, but he is also the root of David. Let's take our Bibles and go to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. 750 years or so before Jesus is born, Isaiah the prophet lived. And in Isaiah chapter 11, look at verses 1 through 5. He speaks of the coming Christ, this prophet of the Old Testament. And he says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall judge not by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist." According to Matthew chapter 1 and according to Luke chapter 3, Jesus was a descendant of King David through Mary and Joseph. But more importantly, he is the one who fulfills the prophecies of the Lord God to King David. And you find that in 2 Samuel chapter 7. He will spring up as the root of David, as the offshoot of David. He will come as a descendant of David. But the idea that Isaiah is conveying here is that he will be greater than David. Just as the oak tree is cut down and from the stump will come new shoots that will replace the old oak tree, so Jesus will come and replace the kingdom of David and the authority of David. He will be greater than his father David. He will fulfill the covenants that were given to King David. Let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. In verses 12 and 13. 2 Samuel 7, 12 and 13. "When your days are fulfilled," God is speaking to David. God is giving David a promise before David dies. He says, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, many people would say that God is speaking of Solomon, that God did not permit David to build the temple in Jerusalem because David's hands were bloody. He was a warrior king. And God would not permit bloody hands to build a temple, a sacred temple to the Lord God. And that makes sense, that God would allow David's son Solomon to come as king to replace David and to build the temple. But that's not what God is saying here to David, because he says, I will establish his kingdom forever. He will reign upon your throne forever. And we know that Solomon didn't. We know that Solomon died. So God is speaking to David of a covenant of perpetuity, that not only would kings come from David, but there would be a great king coming from David who will establish a kingdom that would last forever, and this king would reign upon the throne of David forever. So here you have a covenant with David, because David was the apple of God's eye. David obeyed the Lord, and he was a righteous king over all of Israel. The provisions are found in verse 16. Look at 2 Samuel 7 and verse 16. Here are the provisions. Let's look at verse 15. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house, note this, your house, the line of David, and your kingdom, the rule of David, shall be established forever before you. Your throne, the right of the king, your throne shall be established forever. The Lord God is speaking to David about someone who would be a greater king than David ever could be, who would not only rule as David ruled, but rule in a greater kingdom than David's kingdom, whose kingdom would last forever. David's kingdom did not. Who would reign from the throne of David, physically reign from the throne of David. God is speaking of someone who would fulfill a covenant made with the great king of Israel. I believe that the Lord God is speaking of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Again, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, whose kingdom is not of this earth, he said to Pilate. You don't need to fear what the people are saying about me, because my kingdom is not of this earth. Your rule is not threatened, Pilate. My kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. Jesus is the Lion of Judah. He is the great king that came from the tribe of Judah. Powerful, majestic, whose scepter shall remain with him forever. He is also from the root of David, greater than David, whose kingdom is greater than David's kingdom, whose rule is greater than David's rule, who will reign forever over God's kingdom. But notice also in Revelation 5:5, the elder speaks to John, saying, He has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. To prevail means to conquer. And it's the first word that the elder speaks to John. And he speaks this word first for emphasis. Literally, what the elder is saying to John is this: behold, he has conquered this Lion of Judah, this root of David. So even though we may see that Jesus is the Lion of Judah and appreciate the prophecy that was given by Jacob, and even though we may see Jesus as the root of David, and we might see that he is the fulfillment of the covenant God made with David, the most important thing is the fact that he is the conqueror. He is the one who has overcome. He is the one who has put down the enemies of God. How so? Let's look at verse 6 in Revelation chapter 5. For the elder gives us insight as to how and why Jesus is worthy. Not only is he worthy because he is a descendant of the kings, He is worthy not only because he is the fulfillment of God's covenant with the great king. He is worthy because in verse 6, Revelation chapter 5, the elder says, or in Revelation 5 verse 6, John looks and he sees in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders a lamb as though it were slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. John sees Christ, here symbolized by a lamb that was slain and yet alive. One that had died but yet lives. This is what makes Jesus worthy to take the scroll, to take the title deed of all creation from the hand of God. This is what makes Jesus worthy to administer the judgments of God upon all that rebel against God. This is what makes Jesus worthy to reclaim and to redeem the earth and all of creation back to God. He is the one who died to give his life a ransom, breaking the power of sin, breaking the power of Satan. He is the one who rose again to give new life. He died on the cross to conquer sin and to conquer Satan. And he rose from the grave to conquer death and to give eternal life to all who put their faith and their trust in him. So I submit to you, dear friends, that Jesus is worthy, and the only one worthy. There is no one greater than Jesus who can take this scroll from the Father's hand and to administer his judgments and to redeem and to reclaim his kingdom back to himself. No one other than Jesus, because he is the only one who has offered his life a ransom for sin. He is the only one who has risen from the dead to conquer Satan, to conquer death. So I submit to you, dear friends, that Jesus is Christ. Jesus is the Christ, the promised Messiah. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is of the tribe of Judah. He is of the root of David. And because he is the only one who can redeem us back and to redeem creation back to God. And he is the only one worthy to rule over that kingdom of God. He is the only one who can bring rest and peace, not only to the souls of men, but to all of creation that suffers under sin. Pray with me. Father, thank you that there is a solution to sin's problem. I thank you that there is a power greater than sin's hold on our lives. I thank you that there is one greater than David, one greater than Abraham, one greater than Satan, who is able to take us, to redeem us, to restore us, to bring us back to you. His name is Jesus. And he has died upon the cross, shedding his blood, so that our sins might be covered, the power of sin might be broken, the penalty of sin might be removed. He is the one who rose again to give us eternal life in him. Only he is worthy. Only he is worthy of our praise. Only he is worthy of our affection. Only he is worthy of our service. Only he is worthy to rule as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But there may be one here today who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There may be one here today that is still held captive, a slave to the power of sin in life. There may be one here today that is lost and realizes that their life has no hope beyond the grave because their life does not have Jesus. Father, I pray that today they will consider how important it is that he and she recognize Jesus Christ, the risen King, the risen Lord, able to save, able to rule, able to bring peace, able to give rest to those who put their faith and trust in him.
The Bible declares it so, not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. The angels of glory declare it so. The saints declare it so. The redeemed from the house of Abraham declare it so. I pray that today, Lord God, each and every soul in this house will declare it so, that Jesus Christ is worthy because he is of the Lion of Judah, the tribe of Judah, because he is of the shoot of David, the root of David, because he has conquered sin and death and hell. And today, he offers each and every soul rest and peace in him. Father, may that soul come today and acknowledge Jesus Christ, embracing him as Lord and Savior. May they find rest and peace from sin and from the struggle of life in Jesus Christ. Even now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Stand with me, if you will. David is going to lead us in a hymn of invitation. And as we sing, dear friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you've never confessed your sin, if you've never embraced him as the Lord and Savior of your life, if you've never prayed to receive him, if you've never invited him into your heart, I ask you to come today. I ask you to come and to declare Jesus Christ worthy of your affection, worthy of your praise, worthy of your faith. Come and be saved today. Come and have your sins put under the blood of Christ. Come and make Jesus your King of Kings and your Lord of Lords. It's your decision as the Holy Spirit moves upon you. You come as we sing, David leads.
The alabaster jar is all I have.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.